This week's episode of The Friend Zone is brought to you by none other than Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed for people with coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Bevel is the bomb-ass razor that's been supporting us since day one. And Bevel is the bomb-ass razor that's going to change your life if you haven't gotten one already. So don't forget that you need to go on ahead and get you a Bevel today by going to getbevel.com/friendzone, and you're going to get your first month free with your Bevel subscription. That's right. Get your Bevel today at getbevel.com/friendzone, and you're going to get your first month of your Bevel subscription for free. Don't be dumb when it comes to your skin. Start shaving smarter today with Bevel. Now that's a major key.
Welcome to the Friend Zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesca, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone. Let's start the show.
I'm in the zone.
See, no. even you just said no. Okay. Okay, that's the freestyle right there.
No.
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 No, 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 no.
No.
No. Oh.
No.
The answer is no.
I'm not gonna sing for y'all. No, I'm not doing it this week. No, I don't sound like Fran. No, but I'm riding the beat. Cause no is what I say to fake assholes. I mean every day. Cause they don't listen to the Friend Zone. So I gotta put down my cell phone and say, hey bitch, why you not listening? We trying to make sure your brain's not musty in. We got you the ninja tools to get you right so you don't look like a fool. Hey Dustin, it's time to take him to school. So let me take the beat and you can show him what to do.
All right. All right. 85 degrees and in the NYC, I wore shorts today because I'm the DUST, huh? I felt like myself, walked out of the crib and looked over to the left. I said, hey, motherfucker, how you doing? What's happening? The motherfucker said, shit, just capping. Talking about this nigga in these dirty ass shoes. I said, damn, nigga, you were so rude. I said, if it was me, I have a attitude. I said, if it was me, I would have a major mover like my rhymes do every week because, you know, your feet don't stink because you know that feet a thing for me. I will kick you out the C-I-I to the B, huh? I don't play that bullshit. You come to me, come correct, I'm gonna get the forget, huh? I rap like I'm from the South, I'm from the North, I'm a Yankee, huh? Look at my style, of course I got style and flow. Debonair too, passionate on the weekends, ooh. I even got A's in school, I ain't never been nobody's fool. I got a mama that worked full time, I got a daddy that taught me how to rhyme, I got a sister that bust that grind, I got a brother said do it on time, always be about your word, nigga, and keep it real, nigga. And if they talk that shit, go ahead and pull the trigger. I ain't talking about violence, cause that shit is crazy. I'm just talking about what the fuck Damon paid me, huh?
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's what it is.
See, thank you, friend, for starting off with your note.
Yep.
I'm gonna learn.
Shout out
one.
To Francesca.
You think you're gonna tell me no? I'm gonna tell you yes.
Shout out to Francesca.
See, that's a lesson right there. That's a lesson for how you turn a.
Okay.
You turn lemon into lemonade.
Yeah, I was about to say turn a no into a yes.
Plug
but
your Minties with the
that.
Pages. What did she say she did? Remember on Lemonade? Lemonade was the shit. Everybody that was hating on Lemonade, talking about, I ain't know what was going on. Well, maybe you should have been a little smarter.
For sure.
Because I grasped it all. What I did mess up was I thought I thought that she was going to get divorced because when she did Sorry and it got to the left of Note in the Hallway part, which is like my favorite thing in the world. When she said me and my wardies finna stroll up, I thought she said me and my lawyers.
Oh.
So I looked at my sister like, oh my God, they getting a fucking divorce. I thought that was like it. And then she was like, they didn't say lawyers, Dustin. I'm like, damn. So
shit, that would have been fucked up.
But yeah, you gotta make lemonade out of your lemons unless they got them bruises and knots. Cause some people be having them old ass lemons on the counter looking like they got varicose veins and shit. Mm. And thinking you want some lemon with your water. I'm questioning the water at this point. Shit.
Okay, that lemon definitely not gonna save that water if it's looking like that.
Right. I got to go make water.
Speaking of making water.
So how are you guys? First of all, before we start, thank you, Chicago.
Shaw City.
Chicago.
We just getting back. Oh, we had such our live blast. Show. They were so awesome. It was really, really great energy.
It was. Chicago was amazing. Shout out to everybody that was in the building. They came and contributed. Everybody made it really, really special. Yes. I had family and very close friends in the house that night.
Yes,
so
they
were
yes. awesome.
Yes.
It was really good. So shout out to Chicago. You were such a lovely miss.
Right?
Absolutely.
And
so
all
much
the great
love.
Questions. And of course, DC.
Coming up, coming up, next. Coming up, DC? Coming up. DC, go, go.
Saturday, December 3rd, we will be in the building. Check out tickets at thefriendzonelive.com. Grab yours if you haven't already. And now let's move on to the show. Anything you guys want to say before we start?
Gentlemen, start your engines.
I thought you were paused drag race early, sorry.
No, I don't want to say nothing but vote for Hillary. That's all. Go
and
ahead.
It's very important to say that.
You got to vote for Hillary, dog. I mean, it's really, because what else you going
to
do?
You do
anybody
to.
Else you vote for, like the other people can't win. And the other nigga, he just, we cannot let
no,
that happen. So
absolutely.
You got to vote for ASAP
it's
Hillary.
Coming up soon.
Yeah. Yep.
It's kind of crazy the way that October is flying.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, if you guys don't have any stories to share, we can get into.
Friend said, I'm not putting up with your bullshit tonight.
No, I'm just trying to
Friend said,
you know.
None of that bullshit. Like, no, well, not tonight, damn it. I'll let you fuckers get away with enough.
Enough is enough.
Okay. Enough is enough. Shout out to Thick of It. Get Mary J. Blige's new single available on Tidal, iTunes, everywhere. Shout out Mary J. Blige. And yes, I have seen the video from Tammy Roman's Instagram where she said that, you know, she don't play that shit about Mary J. Blige. And I can honestly say that I never thought I would say that I have something in common with Tammy Roman.
Oh,
but
yeah?
I do.
She sound like you?
Yep. She's a diehard yes. Mary J. Blige fan just like me. So Tammy girl, I feel you, honey.
I hear that. I miss that.
Hey.
I said, well, she must have got her oil changed. She running right. She doing good. Yeah.
That's going to be my homework.
Yep.
So, on last week's show, we got into the controversial conversation about Nate Parker and discussed, is there a way to redeem yourself after participating in destructive behavior against others, against yourself? Can you come back from that? Can you not? A lot of you had amazing things to say. And I will say this, even people that disagreed with a lot of the things that we said, I want to thank you for disagreeing respectfully. I noticed that on SoundCloud, there was literally no one who came out of pocket. Everyone spoke and said, didn't like, you know, the opinions you guys shared, or I did or I didn't, but you stated your opinion and it was that. And I thought
yes.
that was great. That kind of made me excited. I was like, wait a minute. Are we creating
yes.
a community of thinkers?
We're all getting used to each other. Shit.
I love
something.
That. That kind of really like, because I'm not on this show to be right. I'm just on this show for us to think. So I really love that you guys shared your perspectives with respect. So with that being said, who stood out to you guys, Asante?
Well, I have Kelsey here that wrote into the emails.
Grammar. You know, I don't know what to do with those sauce salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again.
We don't speak. You know what? Going back to last week, we don't speak of Kelsey Grammer after what he did to Camille. Okay? I watched The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
But Kelsey also produced Girlfriends.
My.
Wow. Well, you know, I haven't.
Wait, what did he do to Camille?
You know, his ex-wife, you know how he, like, screwed her and shit while she was on the show?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I didn't catch none of that.
I don't really care about her or them no way. And I don't really care about Girlfriends no more. I don't see an indication no way. It was great for his time. Anyway, no, not Kelsey Grammer. After listening, this email, pardon me as I'm getting far off track. This email says, after listening to your podcast last week, I had thoughts. I went to see Birth of a Nation a few weeks ago for free at a screening as I work in media. I had no expectations going in and was still disappointed with the execution of the film. Now, I'm very capable of separating the art from the artist, especially because I'm usually also supporting the supporting cast. For example, Bill Cosby is most likely a creep, but I will never let down my auntie Felicia Rashad because of his foolery, and therefore, I will continue to watch reruns of The Cosby Show and even purchase the DVDs. That said, this film just wasn't great in my humble opinion. I mean, it was fine, I guess, but you know the dumb flick, not another teen movie? This was not another slave movie for me. The acting was okay, not stellar, and the pacing was just off. So just to interrupt the email, this person goes on to like critique the movie and basically the movie and all that. And they talk about how it's only like 15 minutes of war in this 2-hour movie. So I just wanted to read that because it just went to show that the movie was not that good from what people had been telling me and all this controversy was going on. And I wasn't saying that to say that I think that the movie is bad. It's just that sometimes people will judge things and they don't even get to see it. And like in this particular case, as far as my opinion was going last week, it was really just dealing with the topic of Birth of a Nation. I really don't care about Nate Parker or the movie, but I just thought it was really interesting that we go so hard for some of these things before we know what value they're going to hold to us. And this person, luckily, they went into it not having an opinion and they weren't really that pleased about it. But somebody might go real hard for this, you know, not wanting to see it or seeing it, and then the movie not even be that good to them, you know. So I just wanted to bring that up because I thought that was interesting to me.
Sir Dustin, what stood out to you on the Twitter street?
Hey, y'all, because y'all know that's where I be at. Okay. So I would like to say that there were several tweets that made me smile, laugh, feel some kind of way, all that shit this week. I want to give a shout out to Oliver Willis, whose Twitter handle is OWillis. He tweeted Rudy Fossil Tooth Giuliani, just now his quote where he said, "I don't remember seeing Hillary Clinton on 9/11. And then he added pictures that literally show Rudy Giuliani and Hillary Clinton side by side walking the streets of New York City on 9/11 with face masks on. So shout out to him for telling that truth.
Wow.
Okay.
Telling that truth.
Shout out to Tenaciously Sassy at Vivacious Jewels with a Z, who said that she was wearing her Friend Zone Pod on a Petty Note t-shirt to close on her house. And she said that the three of us are so inspiring. So shout out to her for closing on her new home. Okay.
Wow.
And wearing her on a Petty Note t-shirt to do it.
Congratulations on becoming a homeowner.
I got real ethnic when I read it. I was like, I know that's right.
Okay.
Okay. I also want to say, shout out to at IMRANDINICOLE Randy BOMB. Mm-hmm. So it's at I am Randy Nicole. It's at I'm Randy Nicole, who tweeted, this is a good one, you guys. When you're listening to the Friend Zone and Dustin cusses and my 2-year-old says, "Oh no, don't say that, Dustin," I'm hollering.
Oh,
isn't that the cutest thing in the world?
So
right? That is so cute. So shout out to her. And that's what's going on
don't
in these Twitter
that,
sheets
Dustin
right now.
Should be saying that. Yeah, whole show.
I love it. And shout out to the young lady who was at a Chicago show who had her mother with her. And before we started the show, I went up to her mom and I was like, "Listen, I just want you to know, you know, I was raised a certain way and I don't talk, you know, inappropriately in front of my elders. And I have the utmost respect. And I would never, you know, do and say things like that in front of you. But I'm going to say a couple bad words tonight. And I don't want you to be offended." And she, after the show, she came up to me and thanked me for saying that to her. And she told me that she had the time of her life. And she told me to keep cussing because I was funny. That was nice of her.
I saw her in the front row dying laughing.
Yeah, she was so nice.
For me, I am going to pick Sherry Rouse on SoundCloud. And Sherry said, "Since when is Oprah God? Why does Nate Parker have to go on her show if he feels like he's standing in his truth?" So I definitely, obviously that stood out because we brought Oprah up last week saying that we think if he was on the comeback trail, that one of the first stops on that trail is to stop at the
Friend Zone.
Well, you know, when I, because I read that too, and I read that thinking, because a lot of people do like say like, you know, since when was Oprah that person, or when was, you know, there are certain black figures that people, not us per se, but there are people, they're known in the community. So one might even go as far, and I'm not saying this for me, to say that Steve Harvey would be one of those. I said, because you know, because he's mainstream with white people, but it's so easy to do that
likeable
nowadays. People don't actually look at resume, how long Oprah was around, how she was the first to break this ground, and how that's why she's so trusted and she's the source, and why people look to her for that. And that's why if Nate Parker or even Chris Brown at his time went on there, it would have made such a difference. Or it would have made a difference of sorts. I'm not saying it would have actually made or broke the case, but I'm sure it would have swayed a little bit differently than how it's gone today.
Right, just because your ass don't like Oprah. Shit, I like Oprah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you're right. Oprah's not God. And if he's standing in his truth and he feels that he doesn't have to explain to nobody, hey, that's exactly what he chose. You know,
right?
He did exactly that. But
that's what we are now.
Right, in my opinion, Oprah is someone with so much depth and she has a way to really like tap into you as a person. She has a lot of emotional intelligence, and her conversations are usually pretty profound. And she, I think if you are someone who is trying to figure out a way to talk about something that was this tragic, regardless of if he did it or not, I think she's a great person to pull the layers of those conversations with. Because the reality is, he's in Hollywood. He's on TV. He's in movies. This is his town. And if he wants to continue, there are gatekeepers. That's just how it works. It's a game that you have to be willing to participate in for the long run. And I think Oprah is a great gatekeeper to align with. I mean, that's what I think.
I think that Oprah is someone who is respected by a lot of different types and groups of people.
Yeah.
And I think that she is, in this current state of her being Oprah, kind of unapologetically black.
Yeah,
Oprah has gone
too.
Back and made some changes in her. I remember she was staunchly against like just rappers and rap artists in general. And then she became like personal friends with Jay-Z, and she had Jay-Z and Ludacris and all these other rappers on her show. And she's been photographed with all kinds of rappers. You know what I mean? She has the OWN network that has a damn reality show with Evelyn. Hurl a champagne bottle, Lozada. You know what I'm saying? Do the
Loyalty.
Heisman with a champagne bottle. You know what I'm saying? Oprah has made some changes, and she's been very vocal about it, about certain things. And we like Oprah. We like her because she's real. And the fact that she's made those changes and the fact that she does things differently speaks even further to that. And I don't understand why, just because you don't like Oprah, we can't say we wish Nate Parker would have went on the show. I didn't think so.
So if you didn't get a chance to check out the SoundCloud comments, please do. Like I said, there were a lot of really amazing perspectives, a lot of amazing opinions.
Couple shitty ones. No, I'm just
couple spammy ones. But,
right, yeah, a lot of sex spam.
Okay, somebody is horny. I'm telling you.
That's so funny that y'all saw
out of
that.
All of this shit, the spam. It's just been... all call me, bitch.
Like, right, I turned my head. I covered my own eyes real quick. I was like, ooh.
Okay. I don't know what's going on with the spam on SoundCloud, but right. But let's jump into this week's show now. So. The word of the year on the interwebs has been fly out.
Sorry, that's what the word I wanted my word of the year to be.
The word problematic. And we've had a couple of episodes surrounding this topic. We've done the call out culture one. I mean, this recent one with Nate Parker was about him being problematic. I
didn't know he was a Republican.
I forget what other episodes we've had, but we've had quite a few. But we wanted to touch on the past this time around instead of focusing
Why
on what's happening.
Talk about old shit.
Instead of focusing on 2016, we wanted to take a look back at the things that we enjoyed so much back in the day before, you know, digital wokeness and the things that now wouldn't fly. Shows, music, videos, artists, people, things that back in the day we happily supported. And if they were to be out now, we'd probably be crucified, or we'd have to enjoy them in the privacy of our own homes.
Yeah.
So let's jump into it. You want to start with TV?
Yeah, let's start with TV. Let's see.
Well, can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
So you know now how we have like... I'm only saying this because we're coming up on Halloween and the fact that this bitch got a scary movie like Madea. Do you think, and for those listening, I am a gay man. I know that there are differences between, because you know somebody's going to be like, oh, that's not the same, like between drag and cross-dress and all this stuff. But do you think that Martin Lawrence would have been able to do Shanae like today, or like have even been able to open the doors for a Madea?
Like, yes.
Yeah, you think they still would have let Madea fly? I mean,
because, and the only reason I say yes is because Flip Wilson had a very, very popular character that he played called Geraldine. And that was back in what, like the late 60s or the 60s, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Flip Wilson did Geraldine. And he like literally, like, he made his voice high and said something like, "Shown up, honey," or something like that, you
right?
know? But like, and that was popular, and they ate it up. Back when it wasn't even okay to be black, let alone a goddamn black man in a wig. So Madea would have been around. It's Madea. White people love Madea.
But is think Madea they viewed as problematic now? Like people have a problem with it? Really? I miss those think pieces. What are people saying? Oh, okay, I see.
Outside of that, it's...
That's all it took.
The cooning, okay.
That's enough.
Got it.
But, and that's interesting too, though, because just because things were, like, okay, even in the 60s, though, if you look at some of those things today, like, would they let those fall? Like
Woodstock, prime example. They was fucking on the lawn in Woodstock and everything, like just right there out in the open. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Well, meanwhile, we trying to hide our unmentionables during Afropunk. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Barely.
Okay.
Barely.
But it just goes to show you, you know what I mean? They were having all kinds of unprotected wild sex, and it was like considered free love back then. You know what I'm saying? And then they started, you know, it started stinging when they would go pee and shit, and they're like, uh-oh, woo-hoo. Ooh.
Not ooh.
Oh, no. Okay. And next thing you know, they're getting and shot
Studio
to their
54.
Ass cheeks and shit. You know what
Studio
I'm saying?
54.
Yeah. So things changed. There was a lot of stuff that people didn't know there was going to be certain consequences for. Lots of stuff, lots of views, things that were funny. Sanford and Son is one of my all-time favorite sitcoms. And a lot of my style of comedy, I guess, comes from my exposure to those sitcoms. But Fred Sanford would say things like to his Asian neighbor, like, you know what I'm saying? Don't get his Asian neighbor had complimented him on his jacket, and he was like, "Well, don't get no rice on my coat." Yeah, like he would say things like
that.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. Like today, if stuff like that was happening today, and they were like think piece and all these things, like, I could see like a think piece on Shanae today and how inappropriate that would be for reasons of per se cooning or cross-dressing communities and cis this and all that. Like, I think that certain things would still be funny today if they were aired today or things like that. But at the same time, I think of the minute things hit the internet or hit any sort of stream, somebody always runs to the internet and is like, wait, there's a problem with this, like, every time. Like, I can just imagine, like, let's say Kevin Hart decided he wanted to put out a new series and it would be funny as fuck and there's, like, a cross-dressing character that decides that they're Asian when they cross-dress. Do you know how people would, like, just go off, like, all the different communities that would come out of nowhere? Outside of the obvious ones, I feel like a new community would just make itself up, the way they make up these terms on Tumblr and stuff. Like, how we have... I know everybody needs a voice and we need to label a bunch of things, but it's like the more that we look in, the more that these people, like, come out of the wet work to complain about something. Not complain. It's more of a... We don't have these conversations, and the more that we open them up, more doors open, and it's like floodgates. So then we start to become distracted. That's why people do, oh, we're focusing on Black lives, so let's just say all lives matter because there's all these different ones. Well, it's like you just open a floodgates for all the lives and all the shit going on, but we're talking about this one because this is our problem, and that's why we're saying this now. So that's why when stuff happens problematically and people just come out of nowhere and say, oh, this is a problem, it's like it's not always like, oh, it kind of goes back into inclusion. It's not always about trying to include everybody when you're telling these stories or even going against other people.
Well, and therein you have a whole new issue, right? People take a lot of risks when it comes to being politically correct when they're making, like, comedy and things that you joke about for years. Like I just said, Flip Wilson was doing that shit back in the 60s. People have always taken risks and gone in muddy, murky waters, you know, when it came to political correctness, because you could always fall back on the fact that it was a joke. It's comedy, right? And so... because there's always been a space for that, for those oddities, I guess you would say, in comedy. Now, because we're in a society where, like you just brought up the point of inclusion, now there's areas in dramatic roles and in dramatic scripted roles where they're including different demographics and different controversial types of people.
Right, absolutely.
And so it's making people now feel like you have to include everybody in everything, because there's been this shift of, instead of before, everything was just a joke. Now that it's included in serious things and in dramatic roles, people are forced to look at certain shit and take it seriously. That's why everybody hates the fact that, you know, there's gay people on Empire. Like Beanie Siegel was on The Breakfast Club, and that kind of hurt my feelings because I'm a Beanie Siegel fan, and to see him sit up there and just be like blatantly homophobic on The Breakfast Club, that kind of fucked me up.
Oh, yeah.
But then I kept looking at him and I was like, but he kind of looks like when you put a blunt out, you know, like when you pull a blunt and it pulls too hard on one side. so the edge is hanging off. So when you put it out, it curls up and smashes flat.
When it's on a blunt too,
that's what he looks like. And so I didn't care anymore because I was like, well, look at him. He literally looked like somebody didn't suck the life out of him. He looked like somebody put a fly, like some fly paper, vinegar, you know what I'm saying? And red rock salt, river salt on his asshole Hank and just Himalayan yanked salt. It off. Yeah. And just sucked all the life out of him. That's what he
like
looked
Sex
like.
Sex in the City. I love Sex in the City. Like, there are not very many shows that I like. Obsessed over when I was younger, but that one, like, my best friend bought me the box set,
the pink sway one.
Yes, you have it too.
Okay, so who are you?
I mean,
or you, if, I okay, mean, if you if you're a combination of, what would the ratio be?
I mean, I guess I would probably be like Carrie.
You are exactly right? Like Carrie.
I don't, because I wasn't Miranda or Samantha or anything. Or I Charlotte.
I used to be a Charlotte.
Yeah, I'd probably be Carrie because I love clothes. First of all, her crazy, quirky style, and then her
Carrie.
Crazy relationships. I was always some mess after mess after mess. Then getting married, not getting married, just, yeah, familiar. So
I'm John James
that.
Preston. I am. I have always felt like I was Mr. Big. But go ahead. Go ahead. I was about to say Carrie.
Carrie.
Damn. Go ahead, Carrie.
Go ahead, Carrie. But that show would be problematic. Just like... what was it? Girls on HBO,
oh, yeah.
Who was supposed to kind of like the modern twist kind of Sex in the City, was problematic because they're, how are you in Brooklyn and there aren't any black characters, no black stories, even the extras on the street, like you're just in a white Brooklyn, like not
white
possible.
Ass Brooklyn neighborhood.
So I understand how Sex in the City would not fly at this point because they literally developed nothing but white characters on that show. But I really love that show.
And I was never offended.
I was not offended. So that's what I wonder. Like, do you think being woke, is that helping us? Is it just that now people can't get away with not including and not focusing on details and not, you know, like, it's one would think, yeah, it's hard, though, because then now we're so sensitive that, like, everything is problematic and it's so stressful and everything's negative, everything's a problem. But... is it also just making people have to work a little harder to make smarter content? So do you
yes.
think it could work? It's actually advantageous in a way.
I do, but that shit still gets on my nerves.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Especially when you're not trying to offend nobody or,
yep.
you know, demean a whole group of motherfucking people, but you want to crack this joke that is not even, like, racially offensive or anything to a group of people, but you just know that somebody is going to show up and say, ah, you're wrong, motherfucker, because that's what I lived and you saying I ain't shit when you really weren't even talking about
right.
that circle. Nothing. You
Most
know what I'm saying?
People start projecting.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. And so... I mean, it's so bittersweet. It's a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword.
I know Crystal was pointing out the other day that one of her favorite parts of Issa Rae's new show Insecure on HBO is that how focused on the details they are. Like, you'll notice in the first episode, there was an Asian male teacher.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you see that? You know what I mean? And then...
all the time. And it,
well, not on TV.
I was going to talk about a subject.
No. And then... and
see,
then,
I'm being problematic.
You're a problematic fave. But then...
to the second power. No, I'm just... okay,
somebody
never
remind
mind.
You, you?
Squared.
Right. No, but then in the office scenes with Molly, you usually see the CEO as a man. But in her office, the CEO is like a woman. And then
friend,
the,
where was Crystal talking about that?
Right, good plug. Mm-hmm. On our podcast for the show called Insecurity.
Oh, and how is that spelled now, friend?
Wait, INSEC. We have to like see it.
You are
Insecurity. Tea like the drinking tea.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Right?
And now that's a podcast, you say?
and where can they find it?
Everywhere.
Figured,
you can find it on iTunes. So definitely check it out everywhere. But I was saying that Crystal was pointing out how they did a lot of gender switching, you know, and just focusing on a more inclusion. And I did notice that. And it is really nice when you see that an effort is being made. So while I can see that it is kind of frustrating sometimes because it feels like the internet is never satisfied. Like they find a problem in absolutely everything and it can get tiring and kind of draining. But then when you see on a show like Issa's how beautiful it is when everyone is included, then you're kind of like, okay, I get it.
You know, it's such smart ways too.
Yeah, and I see the beauty in it, because I honestly didn't really even notice. It was Crystal that pointed all the different scenes out, and I was like, wow, yeah, you're right. And I think it's cool that an effort like that was made. So now how about TV show? Well, not TV shows, but movies. I know, like, Breakfast at Tiffany's. You ever watch that? When I was younger, I found that movie super cute.
I did, too.
Do you remember her neighbor, the Asian man? And it was Mickey Rooney, I think his name was. Like, a famous white comedian. And he was playing an Asian man. It was so problematic. Like, every time... And the thing is, when I was younger, I did not notice, but as I watched it, I think, like, last year, and there was a shot where he was, like, eating rice and, like, yelling at her through the walls, and I was sitting there mortified. I was like, how did I not notice this?
See, that's terrible, man. That don't make no damn sense.
Wow.
Have y'all seen it?
Yeah.
Don't you forget about it.
I used to live in... I have seen it. But I'm going to tell you something, right? Movies, very problematic. The Breakfast Club, one of my favorite movies of all time. Everybody that knows me knows I love all those...
Wait, what was problematic about it?
They was in detention. Now you can't have a movie about some shit like that because people get on in your mentions. And you telling us these motherfucking kids it's okay to sit up in detention all goddamn Saturday. And you're not. You just made a really cool movie about a bunch of kids having adventure day in detention.
Right.
You can't do nothing no more. I'm trying to tell you. The Ten Commandments. Can't watch that. Why? It's about the Bible. Oh, God. Do you ever not want to say that word? The B-I-B-L-E. That starts the trouble. B-I-B-L-E. That starts the trouble. Every time, I'm telling you. Yeah. When you talk about the Bible, baby, that's when it hits the... That's when the S hits the F. Everything hits the fan. And so you can't make a movie called The Ten Commandments no more. The hell? They ain't even want Greenleaf on. They was mad about Greenleaf.
Who was mad?
The people. Oh, they was mad about Greenleaf, talking about it was fucked up that they had the church shit on TV and, you know, and all that scandaling and candles and sin and, you know what I'm saying? They was mad as hell. Well, I can't say mad as hell, but they was mad about Greenleaf being on.
But even the movie Short Circuit.
Yes, how that actor, the main inventor actor was...
Was he like the scientist?
Yeah, he like built Johnny Five, but he was
a white man.
Johnny Five, you have to stay in all day. Like, it was really, like, looking back, when I found that, I was like, that is so fucked up that he would do that. I had no idea either. I was like, oh, you know, I wasn't making the connection.
I love that movie. That movie is like childhood nostalgia for me.
I watched one and two.
It's up there with Gremlins.
Oh, and the Goonies.
Well, Gremlins have been problematic. The Goonies probably would have been problematic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Goonies.
Because they was making fat jokes and shit.
Mm-hmm. They remember?
And it would have been, what's the term? Would have been ableist? Is that what the term is?
More than likely.
Right. Yeah. Wow. What about Precious? The Goonies.
Precious was problematic, wasn't it? It was. It was one of the best movies I've ever seen.
What would you say is problematic about Precious?
What wouldn't I say was problematic about Precious? Everything. Remember the way she was talking about Precious's children? The way that Mary was talking about her granddaughter and stuff?
You're right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And people really was mad about that, too.
I remember that.
Everything. There's a lot of shaming going on in Precious. I mean, the whole thing. I mean, it was shame, 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 shame. I don't want to go to... It was shame, for real. That's problematic, too.
Oh, my God.
Especially the next line. There's a big, fat policeman at the door. Yeah. Problematic.
Yep, I remember that one.
Wait, what about kids' games like that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Miss Mary Mack all dressed in black. That's goth shaming. You can't be Mary Mack.
This is a goth dream.
This is a goth dream. This is everything. And that's the goth
this
part.
Is everything.
That's the goth part. This is everything.
This is everything.
Oh my
Remember that gif of, or not gif, well, it is a gif, but it's also a vine of them goth kids dancing.
Yes.
Yeah, and they would make it go to tragedy. So it's like, yeah, that girl in them big wide ass car wash pants. That shit was so
them Jean
funny.
Co jeans.
Yes.
Oh, you remember Jean Co?
Oh my God.
My mom
God.
Used to be like, yeah, I know you do not think I'm coming by them wide ass jeans.
Okay, look like two skirts. Jabos,
which were just as wide.
Okay.
The Jabos was wide too.
Can't breathe today.
Yes.
And then artists, music.
Oh, I thought you was going to talk about artists like Bob Ross. Remember that old ass nigga
no,
with
Bob
the afro?
Ross is cool as shit.
Right, but he had an afro. He did. And you see how they did your girl Rachel Dozell.
Oh,
so
no.
Bob Ross would have been problematic. If she
what?
Did.
No, I just make it.
Oh
up.
My God.
See? No, she was like a hair braider at a natural hair event recently.
See, I knew it.
Well, they said she could do some hair, like, real talk.
I heard she,
they
said, you
know, I heard she was nice.
I mean,
I heard she had growing hands.
She pretended to be black for years. She best know how to lay some hands on it, the way the hair was looking.
They like, you know, she got growing hands.
Look, when you pretend to be black, that means you're pretending to be all things great. Because, you know, black
people, work.
Because black people just know how to keep their shit right. So Rachel had to pretend to be black, so she had to pretend to keep her shit right. She better know and take these
But, you know,
skills
it's always one thing, that one way you can tell. Always.
What is it? What?
Put her in the kitchen. Because I'm telling you.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you. Okay, a black cook, you know black food when you eat it. So all they, if they really had burning questions for Rachel Dozell, all they had to do was cut the fire on, cut the stove on, put her in that kitchen, and tell her, Rachel, it's a pot roast out on the counter. You mind seasoning it up for me? I got to run down to the down the street for a minute.
You giving her a lot of credit. You sure they don't just to be like, hey, Rachel, turn the oven on.
Right.
Just to see what she put on. Oh, okay.
Or, you know what would be a good telltale sign? What? Tell her to make some oatmeal. And see if it just comes. If you literally just get a bowl of oatmeal, you know what I'm saying? Or if you get butter, brown sugar, you know what I'm saying? A hint of salt.
You'd get a bowl for me.
Yeah, but that's different, though. We know to expect a bowl. I wouldn't even ask, because unless I had my own Domino sugar,
oh,
if it was on sale. Sometimes you got to get the store brand. But I'll have my own Domino sugar available, salted butter, you know what I'm saying, ready. Mm.
I can't. But what is some music artist that would have been problematic?
Tina Marie.
Oh, you know what?
Damn.
You're right, though. You are absolutely right.
It would. Tina Marie, Vanilla Ice. Because Ice Ice Baby was the jam, though. That still is.
Stop.
That Queen
right
sample.
There,
yes,
every time you hear it, it don't matter. Okay. We should have done that.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
How?
Darius Rucker.
Appropriating what? Country?
White culture.
Appropriating white culture.
Tiva sandals and shit.
Oh, my God.
Going to Cabela's and shit. What is Darius Rucker ass doing at Cabela's?
And you know what? Tip Drill, which is
must be that
one
ass
because
it ain't your face. I need a tip
actually,
drill.
Actually, all the
videos. Oh, you remember the remix?
Tip Drill
all,
already.
Every hip-hop video that ever came
so
out.
The way him sliding that
trouble.
Credit card through her butt, knowing that we all do online bill pay. Come on now.
Man.
It's wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Man,
it's wrong.
Oh man. Imagine they, no, today they would do it, but they would have the square on, at the top of the
remember
button.
No,
she
today
that,
she would
have
been holding.
She have to have the chip.
She would have been holding
oh
her.
God.
She would have he would have pulled his phone out. He would have saw her dancing, pulled his phone out. He'd look.
The little screen do not remove cards.
Right? Oh my God. Oh my God, friend.
Do you want a receipt?
Oh. And you know how it makes that noise?
Yeah. you got to put the chip in and it beep. Oh my God. She be like, hold on, don't remove it.
Nah, Tip Drill would not have flown. All of that BET programming.
Mm-hmm. BET,
what was it called?
BET, Uncut.
And Late Night.
Do you remember what that thing smelled like?
Black Jesus.
Heather
I'm
Hunter.
Trying to kick it tonight.
Oh, Heather
white
Hunter.
Girls, white.
White girl.
We did this already. We've been here before.
Classics.
We've been on Uncut.
Deja vu.
Okay, we were all watching Uncut, not supposed to be watching
what
it.
What about books?
Books.
Magazines. Jet Beauty of the Week. I wish they would.
You
talking about
you think
Jet pieces?
Beauty
what?
In trouble?
All the girls are shaped like iron and boards.
Oh, because they
would
have
been
bikinis,
like,
right?
Yeah, and they always had like shapely black women.
Mm.
Baby, them iron and board built then ladies would have been in the mention so
okay.
fast.
Like the same way Teacher
Bay
got
all of the beauties of the week gotta be so bodacious or some shit.
Dang.
Why can't they be looking like us?
What about TV shows like Teen Summit and things like that? They probably would have gotten in trouble for the topic.
Ricky Lake ass.
Ricky Lake. Ooh. Richard Rock. Bay.
You remember mm-hmm. Rock?
Was that his name? Richard Bay.
Remember Rock used to come on late night on like Fox or something?
Whoa, whoa, and he used to have Eleanor. Rock, baby.
Eleanor.
Joey.
Rock used to be
you're doing it again.
It's my mom's favorite show.
Really? Rock was good.
Man, you want to talk about some family moments, like when y'all, your whole family's huddled around the TV, like watching some serious stuff?
My feelings was hurt watching Set It Off because Eleanor, Ella Joyce was in Set It Off being a stone cold bitch. And she was so endearing on Rock as Eleanor. So it was like watching her be mean to them like that. I was like, damn, it really hurt me.
Would that have been problematic?
Hell yeah. Cleo. Oh, come on now.
What about dead presidents?
Yup, blackface.
Ah, you call me rocking blackface.
Yeah. So basically everything
ain't nothing is okay.
Nothing. Yeah. I saw someone have a think piece the other day about Martin being problematic.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. Tommy ain't even cold yet.
They said
listen to me.
He treated Gina was problematic, that he's very misogynistic. That's what the piece was about.
Well, everything he said to Gina was funny to me, seasons 1-4. So I don't know. You know, and everything she said was funny, and Martin was hilarious, and there was nothing problematic about Martin. You get to stick out of your ass and enjoy the show
but today,
like the rest of us
it
did.
It definitely would have. Especially with terms like rape culture being used today. The way that they were saying Gina was being treated, had us not even known about it. If Martin was airing from 2015 on to 2018 and we in the middle of a season right now, there would be think pieces on think pieces about the shit that he be saying. And
how do you blur the line between comedy and sensitivity?
The people that write those think pieces don't look at anything as comedy.
Damn it, Dustin.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, I think of the comedy sets.
Facetune
from back
comedy.
In the day, you know, that would not have flown now. Like,
oh,
stuff
like
Chris
Def
Rock
Comedy
has
Jam,
said, Def Comedy Jam, and
Bernie Mac,
Richard Pryor.
Do you remember Bernie Mac talking about bust a head to the white meat? Talking about, he's talking about abusing kids. Like people would.
In that movie when he was like, "I hate your black neck, your black ass gums." Remember that scene? Yo, tell me that would not have flown. Okay, Dustin and Sante have left the room.
Friend, please say it. Please.
One more time.
No.
Please.
I can't believe
it. There's going to be think pieces
please.
About it.
One more time.
Hey, that funk already.
No, but that scene would have been, if it hasn't already, I'm sure if we look it up, there's something about it.
Hell, Family Matters. What about Judy just fucking disappearing? You think they would have let that shit slide today? How in you tell me the moms groups and shit, they would have been outside. How in the fuck is a whole child disappearing?
Where did she
right.
go?
Blaming Barack Obama for that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my
Westboro.
God.
What's that fucked up church full of all them nuts? What's that church of them people that's always bitching about something?
Westboro.
God damn.
No, is it Westboro?
They are the worst.
No,
I'm talking about Jesus. That's who don't need to be let slide today. Write a think piece on Westboro Baptist Church. Why you motherfuckers been so quiet about that?
Ann Coulter would be somewhere and be like, Barack can't even find Judy Winslow.
Right.
So what's the takeaway? Do you guys think it's too much where we're at now, or is it helping? Like, and when you look at, like I was saying, Issa Rae Show as an example of how inclusion is awesome. So how do we do it without being overwhelming, though?
With style. So you have to be very discerning in the choices that you make. You know what's right, you know, to make an accurate depiction of a situation, right? I live in New York City. I see all different types of people, and it's one of my favorite things about living here. So if I was to create a show that replicated what my experience was like living in New York City, it would be multicultural. Not for the sake of plug and play and, oh, well, at least I can say I had this person in here to fit this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that I say that. So everybody's not going
to
be in everything, but at least make it true to whatever it is that you're trying to say, the story that you're trying to tell. That, I think, will be appreciated. You know what I mean? As opposed to just putting people in there just for the sake of. So that's all. Just bring back the integrity.
Well said.
I think as we discuss the fact that we don't get away with enough shit today and how we would not have been able to get away with half the shit yesterday, we just need to learn to zoom out again and just look at all the pieces, because we need to look at the people writing these think pieces, right? I feel like they write them to start these conversations, but they don't ever, they, a lot of them miss the point that what the intent actually was. Like, they'll be like, hey, so this happened, and they forgot to mention all this stuff. And they forget to say, you know, even though it was put in this light and, you know, frame it up, because some things are meant to be good and nice. And sometimes we'll be like, oh, well, it was good that you said that. And then when you hit those buts and you make 10 points about it, it's like you're really not caring about what the actual intent or the original, what it originally meant anyway. So these think pieces almost take away, as opposed to shining the light on some of these issues as they mean to do. So, with that said, everybody, just zoom out. Take a lot of these things that you see with a grain of salt. You know, a lot of them, it's to get your wheels turning, but you still have to live. Sometimes you see things and people think that that's the truth and that's what's right, and they want to deter you from living, and don't get caught up in that shit. I feel like there's too much of that. A lot of this shit, we want to laugh. The think pieces are like, oh, this is where this joke stems from. I don't need to know where the joke stems from. I just want to laugh sometimes. Unless the joke stems from somewhere that's funny. Show me the video where it came from and make me laugh. Don't
show
like,
me the receipts.
Okay. Show me the receipts now. Like, even with that, show me the video where I can laugh, where they were making fun of that on Mad TV. You don't have to play back the interview with Whitney Houston. R.I.P. Whitney.
I'm shout out to Whitney Houston.
R.I.P. Bobby Christina, too. I just have to say that.
Shout out to Whitney Houston, though.
You're like, just
all at once. I love that song. All at once.
Today's episode of The Friend Zone is also brought to you by Performa Sleep. Performa Sleep is the absolute best mattress designed specifically for those with an active lifestyle. Engineered by two friends who are mattress industry veterans and athletes themselves, this mattress has been designed to be cool, supportive, and rejuvenating to muscles and joints. The Performa Sleep mattress gives you an edge as you wake up every day. Whether you're headed to the basketball court or the boardroom, the rink or the runway, you'll perform better after sleeping on the copper-infused top layer that moves heat away from the body, is antimicrobial, antiviral, and offers the benefits of copper to the body that have been widely written about, which I actually totally co-sign. Traditional memory foam gives a sinkhole feeling, but Performa Sleep gives superior support through the night with a layer of bounce back technology. And who doesn't love a little bounce back in the bedroom? I'm mad at that. If you're nervous about buying a mattress online, feel confident that you can try Performa Sleep for 100 nights risk-free with free returns with no annoying salesperson lingering over you while you test it out. Mattresses start as low as $525, and just for our listeners, take $125 off plus free shipping. That's really great. Just head to performasleep.com and use code FRIEND. That's PerformaSleep, code FRIEND. Enjoy. Well said. That sums up our hot button issue for today. So let's jump into this week's wellness segment.
Well, yums, comma, Wendy. That's what her file said. All her files be like, well, yums, comma, Wendy.
Well, you did not.
Right. Hey, Wendy Williams. Well.
Unless you're about to bite the mic.
Okay, so I have an exercise for you guys.
Kanye's workout plan?
No. So this is, I'm going to ask you guys a question. So when you mess up, right? Like, you do something wrong, something fucked up, or even if it's something against yourself, doesn't necessarily have to be against someone else. And you know how everyone, we all have that internal voice, that internal monologue where you check yourself or you beat up on yourself, whatever patterns you tend to follow with your ego and how your mind works. Be honest. Do you talk to yourself shitty? Like, are you really hard on yourself? Do you curse yourself out, or do you just use like a harsh tone? Is that internal voice like kind of like a bitch?
No, it's very condescending, and it's very much, it just feels really judgmental because it's like, I literally know that I know better. So So that right. guilt shit is crazy.
Right.
Yes.
So it can be kind of like reprimanding, almost like a parent.
It's like looking at myself in the face. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, I really got to look at, like, face myself
right.
for being dumb. And
for
you know what I'm
better.
Saying?
Right. What about yours? What's your internal voice like?
Just like me. My internal voice will look at me and be like, yep. Yeah. Like, I'll literally be sitting there. When I shut down, and my it's because of myself. Like, myself is shut down within myself. Like, yep. Yeah. You fucking, you're stupid. You messed up. What are we going to do now? And I'm outside trying to outwardly figure out what I'm doing. But inside, it's like, no.
So it's petty and
yes,
rude.
Absolutely.
So rude.
So nasty and so,
so nasty
rude.
And so here's my question to you. When there are people around you, the ones that you find supportive, right? The ones that you're drawn to because you're like, damn, they make me feel good or they understand me. What's the usual tone that they take that makes you feel good? Or maybe if you don't have a particular person in mind, but if you have, you know, we all have that ideal in our mind. Like, if this person were to talk to me this way and if I were to fuck up or mess up, or it doesn't have to be, like I said, something against them, but just a fuck up, something you did today that just went wrong, a mistake or something that you didn't get, a job, an interview. What can the person say to you? Like, what's the tone that you respond best to? Like, do you respond best to being babied? Do you like when people, like, call you baby and kind of speak to you, like, a soft tone? You know, like, lovey-dovey? Or is that not your thing? Do you sort of like someone that is more stern and kind of says it like it is? Like, what feeds you? What makes you thrive? What kind of energy that makes you feel better?
I don't know. I think because I shut down so hard, I just like a calm tone. Like, if you can just kind of regularly map something out for me, like, it makes the anxiety, because sometimes that anxiety is just a big cloud of nothing just flaring up. If you could just, if I have one person to just kind of be like, okay, so Asante, like, this is what's going on, and all you have to do is this, or if you can't do that, we'll worry about the next thing when we get to it, so what's up? Like, if you can talk to me like that.
So you like someone that kind of goes through the motions of what happened and but speaks to you without judgment, like calmly, like, okay, so X, Y, and Z happened, but this is how we're going to fix it.
Like in a problem-solving, step-by-step, moving-forward motion.
Okay, so that's what makes you feel safe.
Yes.
Okay, what about you, Dustin?
Well, for me, it boils down to, like, the nature of the relationship, right? So if you remind me that you support me because of the nature of our relationship through your actions, then I can handle you being brutally honest with me. So, like, if we're dating and you're like, baby, you know that, you know, you fucked that up because you did such and such. Now everything will be okay. Mm-hmm. But moving forward, you have to do this and that. You know what I'm saying? Because we can't be in this situation again, whatever. Then I can roll with that. You know what I'm saying? Or if you're my friend and you're like, I mean, fuck it. You know what happened. You know what I mean? But all you got to do is do this. And don't you be walking around with your head down, whatever. You know, being a friend, my siblings, being them. You know what I mean? So that reinforcement, as long as that layer of reinforcement is there, then I don't feel like I'm hung out to dry and I won't go into defensive fight mode.
Right.
I'll be open to, you know what I mean, whatever the messaging is. So that's what's key to me. Just reinforce the relationship.
So you like the honesty of, like, mm-hmm. yeah, you fucked up. So mm-hmm. don't like sugarcoat. You don't like being sugarcoated.
No, I don't like,
but
hell
they
no.
still have to be, like,
I'm a
soft.
Real nigga friend. You know that. I don't want no fake shit.
Right.
Like, keep it real with me. But right. just be relationship appropriate. Like,
right,
don't
right.
be being mean to me and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Yeah.
So honesty with a little love.
Yeah.
Okay.
And well, heavy padding.
When I tell you what the exercise is, that's going to make you laugh extra hard. Just mark that
here
one.
We go.
So this is why I asked.
It's going to be one of those segments today.
Right.
Huh?
This is why I asked to explain what your actual voice is and then what your ideal voice is. Because this is an exercise that I've been doing because I have, as calm as I am, as nice as I try my best to be and understanding and compassionate, I'm really hard on myself. And my mom is so funny because she'll point it out a lot. Like, she'll be like, God, you really, you want to be like a robot? Like, how I overwork myself and when I mess things up, I, like, can't stop thinking about it and it's just such a bigger deal than it probably really is. So I've changed how I speak to myself with, like, I've made an effort to be softer with myself. So I had to ask myself, what kind of voice is it that I thrive best around and feel safe? And I'm kind of more like you, Asante, where I like a calm voice that kind of walks me through where what I did so I can see where I messed up. But also, like Dustin says, gives me that reassurance and that reinforcement that everything's going to be okay. So I had to ask myself, why is it that I look for that voice in someone else, though? You know, like, why am I hoping that someone will give me that feeling or be that voice for me when I have this voice internally that is probably the harshest voice of all and the only one that affects me more than anyone externally, you know, because I beat myself up more than anyone on earth could ever beat me up. And even when I do get praised, if that internal voice isn't feeling it, I don't even hear the outside praise. Okay. Like, that's how heavy and strong it is. So I was like, well, I need to make that voice be that voice, if that makes sense. So I did an exercise. I was like, for the next 30 days, when that voice kicks in, I'm going to get in the way of it and make it shift to speak to me the way that I like to be spoken to when I'm being comforted. Mm. So I will literally, like, you know, just for example, like, if I mess up a project or something, I'll be like, you know, babe, it's okay. Like, I'll literally talk to myself like that, call myself babe and be like, it's fine, girl. Like, you did okay. This is messed up, but it's fine. Like, you're going to fix this because you have this coming and that. Like, girl, you're good. You're good. You're good. It's fine. And I talk to myself the way that my friends, like Amaya or my best friend Malay, yes, or Claude would talk to me, or when my mom is comforting me. So I do that for myself. So the thing is, you know, it's easier said than done, obviously. But when you set the intention to catch that voice before it starts and you say, nope, this is how I prefer to speak to myself, you can keep getting in the way of it. And if you do it consistently, eventually the voice will kind of give in. Because now I've noticed that I automatically speak to myself like that. And it is such a relief. It's such a nice feeling. And I feel like I'm not as hard on myself. And even lately, I'm sure you guys have noticed, I've been a lot calmer than even usual. Like, even at our live show, I usually get so worked up and nervous.
Yeah, you breezed through.
Yeah,
that.
Like the first one we did, I was like having a mild heart attack in the back. Just so nervous. And then the one in Chicago, we were like, right, even mm-hmm. Dustin, we were in the car like, are you calm? Because I'm calm. Mm-hmm. And we were just like weirdly and eerily calm. But I can really attribute that to my inner monologue and how I've just kind of reconditioned it to just be a lot nicer. So instead of, you know, like I said, waiting on a boyfriend or a girlfriend or your homegirl to be that comforting, soothing voice, you know what you want to hear. So why not condition your internal monologue to be exactly what you want to hear, and you can comfort yourself. And that way you are so self-sufficient and you don't need someone else to build you or comfort you or reinforce shit. You're like your own machine. And before you have your meltdown, you already build yourself up before anyone else even gets to you and knows that anything happened. And it's really nice. So I think it's something that you should consider. Really great exercise. And don't feel weird. Like, I'm telling you, I do it. I talk to myself all the time.
I was going to ask you, now tell the truth. Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk to yourself, are you always yourself or are you sometimes other people? Like, because, you know, when you have to be like, all right, now what would Maya say to me in this instant? Like, does she pop up in your mental living room and be like, hey, girl, you need some encouragement real quick and tell you what you need to hear? Or
no,
do you just imagine
really
yourself as yourself, like, like, all right, this is what we got to do.
Yeah, I don't
and you
even
sort it
think
out
of a, like, a person. For me, really, it really is just an energy, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. it could even be a ball of light that's talking to me. It could be a lotus flower. It don't matter.
No,
but it's just a feeling. It's more like a feeling than right. a person, you know? But what I know is that I like soft, gentle, calming voices. So that is what works best for me. So that's what I've been doing. So I say try it. You know, I say try it for 30 days. Every single day when that voice tries to kick in, get in its way and see how it makes you feel. And if you feel like after 30 days you're like, I like this relationship we have going here, it's like a lot healthier, it's more aligned, and you'll notice that if you're not beating up on yourself, you also won't be as allowing of anyone outside of you to beat up on you either, verbally. So Just something to consider.
Well said.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that's it for this week's wellness segment. Now we are going.
I just want to say I believe your wellness segment works because a long time ago when I got out of a relationship, I had to figure out how to, you know, just be by myself. And so I was like, oh, I do miss this about being with the other person. But then I said, well, what do I miss about, you know, being with me? And so I would walk into places and imagine that I was buying myself these things. Well, I would. Like, I would, like, literally imagine that myself was my boyfriend buying myself these things as I was buying them. Just because I was like, oh, I like that. And it's like, you like that.
Remember, I told y'all that my ex, when I asked him, how did he get over me? He was like, I thought of what it was that you brought to my life and all the things that you did that I didn't. And I did them. And I didn't miss you no more.
Well, damn.
I was like, okay.
Ooh, loving you no more.
Ooh, speaking of, Mr. Music Man.
I was just
Man.
About to say.
Let's get into the music segment.
Well, since we started off with Loving You No More, that is a track from Diddy's Dirty Money, or Diddy Dirty Money, whatever.
What
Diddy
happened to them?
I don't know, but they were fly as fuck.
They sure were.
They were way ahead of the curve.
Is that what it is? That they were just ahead of their time? They were a little too different?
They had no promo.
Because they were touring all over. Like, you know, they were out in Paris, like, killing
that
scene. Fuck yes. And what a lot of people don't know.
And the fact there was 3 dark-skinned artists in the group.
Killing it. 2 beautiful black women, like, vocally talented out of this world.
Strong singer-songwriter.
And then strong-ass Diddy out here running empires and shit.
Yeah.
Up on stages all over the world, killing shit. Lights, fashion, like, killing shit. Like, when they first hit, I was like, this is amazing. Like, I was in love with them.
Yes.
But Loving You No More, Diddy Dirty Money. I say that to say, Don Richard, formerly of Diddy Dirty Money, also formerly of Danity Kane, is coming out with Red, the 3rd installment of her Heart series.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
She started off with the Golden Hearts, then she did a little something dark for the Black Hearts, and now we're up for Redemption Heart, the Red Hearts.
Nice.
Project's coming up soon. Had to go ahead and throw that out there because I was tweeting her the other night that she needs to go ahead and send me the fucking project so I can listen to it.
Right.
I definitely got to check that out.
Yes, Dawn has always been one of my favorites because she is just a bomb-ass artist. Vocally, she's talented. She really cares about her visuals. She cares about art. She cares about her voice. Like, she just cares about things that I just really care about, and I like that about her. And she supports other people in really cool ways.
Remember the last time y'all came to my house and y'all were playing all her music?
Yes. Oh, my God.
We were, like, having a jam session as usual, but it was, like, a Don Richard jam session.
She's so dope, man.
So
everybody
dope.
Knows 86 is a special song
my God.
For me.
86? I gotta check it out.
86 is a really, really
That's
dope
your
song.
What project is it from?
It's from
That's Golden Heart.
Okay.
Shout out to everybody that does their homework. This may have actually been homework before. I can't remember, but we're going to do it again, and everybody's going to do it and shut up. There is a video on YouTube of Dawn Richard doing a dance rehearsal. She's in a dance studio. It's a black and white video, and she's telling a story through choreography to her song 86, and it's one of the most beautiful pieces I've ever seen in my life, and it's such a testimony to, like, her talent. Mm. So just look that up. Look up Dawn Richard 86. It's like dance rehearsal. She's in a dance studio, and it's a black and white video, and you can thank me later, Tootsie Pops.
Yes.
Tootsie Pops.
Put my hands up, surrender 86 on pretending.
Oh.
She's just been one of those. I wanted to start off with Dawn Richard. I've also been killing Xavier Omar's The Everlasting Wave.
Listen.
I mean, killing that project. If you guys aren't familiar with Xavier Omar by now, he used to go by a Spazzy Rocket. It used to be SPZRKT, but he is now Xavier Omar. I think you can find him on Twitter at
Is that what it was? Spazzy Rocket?
Yes. Like, I remember in the bio, it was, like, pronounced.
I don't think I ever actually said it. I just knew how it was spelled.
Because it was, like, Spazzy Rocket. And it was, like, well, it was SPZRKT, and it was, like, slash another set of letters or something.
Right.
I forgot who the other person was.
I thought that was the place in the mall that sold pizza.
Sparrow.
I thought that's what that was.
Justin.
Go ahead.
But yes, check out Xavier Omar's project. How many favorites do you have on this project so far?
I mean, honestly, I love the entire thing. It's one of those you're not skipping over anything. But I tweeted him yesterday. I was like, I love it, but what is it? Speculate.
Oh, yes. Speculate
is my track. And granted, the album is a sad one. It sounds like someone broke
It is a beautifully sad, sad album.
Xavier, I don't know who broke your heart. And I'm sorry, but at least you got a good ass EP out of it, bro. Because yeah. this is so relatable, so well written, so heartfelt. Every single song, I was like, wow.
Yes.
So it's a good project. I've been tweeting about it for like the past couple weeks. And support him. He's on the way up. So we wanna build our black artists, and he's awesome.
And if you are really like loving that project, because it is a short project, go check out his previous project, Hours Spent Loving You, which is a super, super dope project. A lot of people checked that out at one point. So go listen to it. Really, really cool production, really different artists. Not like nobody's doing what he's doing right now. So yeah. if y'all are tired of the Bryson Tillers and all that, you know, go ahead and get your piece. I want to just say this because it needs to be said at some point. I want to shout out The Weeknd. Because when we were in Chicago, that fucking song.
Yo, how many times did you play that, Dustin?
That's my shit. I've been trying to tell you that is my
so
shit.
The Weeknd,
I think it was just on loop the whole ride. It was like an hour car ride.
The Weeknd song, Starboy, which is produced by Daft Punk, is
sick combination.
Stellar. Like, I wasn't really feeling The Weeknd, you know, for a while. I liked him when he first came out, and then I had to give him a break. But now we back on. Daft Punk is one of my all-time favorite, like, producers, artists. Like, I just love that duo. Like, they're just dynamic as fuck. So the fact that they got together with The Weeknd and made a dope-ass sound, because they're really dope with urban artists. They did Kanye West, Stronger. Like, they sampled their song for Kanye West, Stronger. Like, they reproduced the beat form and stuff. So I thought that was fly.
Daft Punk's always been it.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. That simply and purely is just a good song.
Yes.
Flat out.
Feel good.
It ain't about it being The Weeknd. It ain't really even about it being Daft Punk. They just literally made a good song. Like, it's just a good song.
It's a nice little club hit. Yeah.
It is. Is there a video for it?
Yeah. And the video is actually really fly too. I just saw the video last night. It's like him taking his old self out. Because you know he cut his hair.
Yeah, I saw.
So in the video, it's like him with the hair. And then, like, all I caught was him tipping his old self up with the body bag. You know,
oh, really?
And then he takes that shit off. And I was like, damn, he looking kind of okay.
That's dope. I got to look it up. I haven't caught it yet.
Well.
And then a fan favorite, or at least my new obsession. Anderson .Paak.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No Worries.
Yeah.
I have been killing. Anderson .Paak and Knowledge is the producer.
Right.
Killing that too.
That project is so good. And it's not even out yet, right? It's like
it's
October
not?
21st, I think. Or maybe it was on iTunes.
I was going to say Apple Music has been, I've been repeating it.
Because I don't have Apple Music, so I guess I haven't been able to listen to the project in its entirety. But if you go on iTunes now, and obviously let's support them and pre-order it, comes out the 21st, but they have like 6 or 7 tracks of it that you can listen on iTunes now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and it's good.
It is.
I honestly, I'm obsessed with Anderson .Paak now. Like, I think
only
he's
just
so
got into
good.
Him. I literally just got into
he
him.
He has a song with Mac Miller called Dang, and I'm not going to say I'm not a Mac Miller fan, but I can't really tell you any albums or songs of his. I just never really gravitated towards him.
Right.
I don't know if it's the white rapper thing. Maybe I have a
That's
mental
what it
block.
Is for me,
I really don't
honestly.
Know. But because he just reminds me of like the white boys I went to high school with. But I don't know. I just haven't
gotten into it. He looked like Madonna. Mac Miller looked like Madonna.
Borderline. Mac Donna Miller.
He looks like Madonna in the face, for real. Go
ahead.
Oh,
my God.
You think he's one of the kids?
Side
one
by
of
side.
Kids.
But I will say, you know, at the end of the day, good music is good music.
That's right.
And I don't really care who you are, what you look like, where you're from. That Dang record with Anderson .Paak and Mac Miller.
You said
is
good music is good,
good
music.
It is.
So if I find you a good Kevin Gates song, you going to rock it?
Like yep. I said, good music is
hey.
Good music.
All right then, friend.
But I mean, he's a cousin fucker, you said, right? I mean, that's straight, you know?
And I'm not the cousin
do.
Or him,
right?
So I'm good. Yeah.
Like, I'm not the cousin, and we definitely ain't fucking, so.
I'm mad at y'all for that. But yeah, so definitely check that project out. And my last plug before
I was just
going to
say, we should save this last little spot for a very, very special friend zone faves.
Faves.
You guys might be familiar with it. One Lewis York. Okay.
Hey.
If y'all don't know who Lewis York is, y'all just need to stop listening to the show. What are you doing? You
and music in general.
Is.
Like,
yeah.
Lewis York, are you crazy?
Right. So they released Masterpiece Theater Act 1 last year.
Do you know what my favorite song on that is?
What is it?
Slow Motion.
You know that's mine too. That's why
is
I was
it?
On the Spotify playlist. It was on Warm Vibes in Summer Night.
I still revisit that one.
Right?
I think I listened to that last night.
So I obviously love them to death. Those are my homies. To see them bringing this project to fruition has been amazing. And now they are releasing Masterpiece Theater Act 2, which will be coming out November 18th. If you haven't checked out Act 1, please do so. Yes. It is on Spotify, on iTunes, and everywhere that you can listen to music. For their second album that's coming out, they released a single called Don't Play. And it's so fun. It's such a feel-good record. Like, mm-hmm. as soon as it comes on, it'll just get your vibrations up. And then they have a second single called Limelight, which I was looking. I didn't see it on Spotify, so I don't know if they've officially released it yet. I think I just saw them perform it at the Apollo Music Cafe. Hey. They did a great job. It is another great record. So I think the second act is, it might actually be better than the first one, which I didn't think was possible. Like, the songs are just, they really have tapped in. They're in their, bag, as the youth say. So I really, really am proud of them. So you guys have to check them out. Lewis York, if you haven't already.
Yeah, yes. Shout out to Claude Kelly and Chuck Harmony.
Absolutely. Shout outs on shout outs.
And if you haven't heard about them, that's Claude Kelly, who has written for Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, Britney Spears,
Christina Aguilera.
Miley Cyrus' Party in the USA, which is her biggest pop hit. Jesse J, right?
Yeah.
Tori Kelly,
which actually they have a song coming out on her new project that's dropping like this week. So he's been the pop king for a while. And then Chuck Harmony is the R&B king, right? He's worked with Neo and Rihanna, Mary J, Fantasia, Tori Kelly as well. So before they even formed Lewis York, these two dudes collectively have sold 25 million records. Right, pre-Lewis York and Grammy nominations. So, you know,
they know what they're doing.
So definitely check them out and let's try to help them sell 25 million together.
More. Okay, let's
right?
be part of that 25 million.
So I love you guys and we're excited for you and your music.
Yes.
Hey. Is that it, Mr. Music Man? Because now we got to go to TV land.
That's it. It's the music, man.
Hey.
Okay.
I'm telling you what you watch on the screen. It's the music.
So, Dustin, what happened with Wacky Jackie this week?
Right. So, shout out to this segment, which this week is going to be called
I'm gonna stop calling
If Your Cable Was On.
Lady.
Right.
If Your Cable Is On?
Yeah. If Your Cable Is On. Yo, so Basketball Wives LA, the season finale came on this week, which I didn't even know.
I didn't know
it was a season finale until the end of the show.
Jackie, Dustin?
Right. It'd be smile. And be kind.
Are they taking a break before the reunion? I hate when they do that. Okay, good.
The reunion comes on next week. And that's how I knew it was the season finale because they were like, next week on the reunion. I said, well, damn.
Wait, can you please?
I saw a gif of Tammy like running down some street like really fast.
Yeah.
Okay, please, before you get started, can you tell her who's hosting the reunion?
I don't remember.
Oh, you see?
Is it Wendy?
What? I can't believe I just forgot his name that fast. What is the nigga's name that be on CNN and now he hosts the VH1 after shows? Mark Lamont Hill is hosting the reunion.
But isn't he like a political commentator?
He's crossed over. Wow. He's crossed over.
Get that check.
Right?
Listen, respectability politics. Inclusion, whatever you want to call it, he's don't care.
I hear that.
And low key, I was getting tired of John Sally, but I was so shocked.
Where'd they get John Sally to do that?
You know, he do basketball. I guess Shawnee might have asked him or Odom one or something.
Connection.
You remember,
hello.
John, you didn't tell me when you sink check cheating, you gonna host this shit. I don't know what the deal was, but he did it.
Are the reunions usually good?
Oh, the reunions are where it all goes down. Like the reunions are the bedroom.
The icing on the cake.
Yeah.
They watched how the whole season was edited together and they get to confront each other.
Oh, so they get
other.
To like air their grievances.
Yeah. So it really goes down. The reunions are good, but yeah, the reunion comes on next week. Jackie got married again, which is the dumbest shit ever, but she got married again in Portugal.
She gets married every year.
Right. She gets married every year they have a wedding. Every single year.
How long has it been? 20 years?
20 years. This is their 20th anniversary.
Yeah, it was their 20th. They had their 20th wedding in Portugal.
I mean, I guess if they think it's
but it because but they like invite people.
Like
so
real
imagine
wedding.
Like every damn year.
Like it's real weddings.
You already got a birthday. God damn. Like
right.
So but yeah, they got married. Duffy went home because Shawnee and them decided
Who
that
knew?
Right.
Who knew?
Who knew? I can't even listen to that Pink song anymore. Who knew?
Oh, no.
Sante, you done ruined it.
Right, but Tammy ruined Duffy's trip, so Duffy had to go home.
Set that bitch packing.
Why'd she go home?
Because because Tammy was being a fucking musk ox, and she busts her through the...
But let me tell
you. You know, became barreling around the table, and now everybody's acting like Duffy's fault.
Tammy is friends with somebody on production. I'm going to tell you, I don't know who or how, but the way that it was edited, and I'm not saying Tammy was wrong in any of this, but when they was like previously on Basketball Wives and showed you like what happened in the past few episodes, it looked exactly the way Tammy was saying it happened, and like not even a little bit in Duffy's favor of what she said. And so then it like cuts into Tammy basically saying, you know, long story, oh, I was nice enough, send this bitch home, pretty much. And her pretending that she would go home if she had to. But no, bitch, you know that you are sending this bitch home.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which she knew she was. And Shawnee's petty and no good ass is sitting up next to her talking about something. And if she go, I'm going to go because I'm not going to send her home by herself. So.
Well, it's her friend. If you,
don't want to be
if
there,
you
friend.
If Jackie got in a fight, I would leave.
That's
too,
totally
Justin.
Different because we.
Jackie.
Me and Jackie. Can you imagine
if,
me and Jackie Christie fist fighting?
As long as she don't trip over me running out of wherever she running from.
But they just didn't want to be there.
Okay.
And so that's why every time Tammy withdrew from the group, Shawnee was like, well, I can't leave her. So. You just don't want to be there, Shawnee. And then she was getting on my nerves because she was acting like she was encouraging Tammy to do good and not fight and keep the peace. You was just standing over there talking about, girl, you can't even stand this. Look at it. Just the sight of it. Face you off doing it. That's what she was doing.
Because Tammy was like,
egging her on.
Yeah.
Making these faces.
And speaking of egg on, Melania Trump. And if you want to, this is the funniest story ever. So on The Real Housewives of New Jersey, Teresa Giudice has a daughter named Melania that's always been kind of behaviorally challenged.
That's the middle one.
Yes.
I remember and so, her. I remember her.
And so today I'm
she
at work,
mean,
right?
Girl.
I'm at work talking to my homegirl at my job. And I'm like, yo, did you see the Melania interview last night? She was like, yeah. Now, mind you, me and this girl always talk about The Real Housewives in New Jersey. So I'm like, yo, did you see the Melania interview last night? I'm like, she's like, no, what? I was like, yeah. I'm like, Anderson Cooper interviewed her. She's like, what? I was like, yeah.
Wait.
I said, and she was like,
I'm picturing the little
look. So I'm like, and she was like, when
the
they asked her,
side by side. 'Cause the way her mom dresses.
So I'm like, when they asked her, you know, when they asked her about what Donald Trump said, she was like, oh, you know, he egg on or whatever. I was like, and then she said, it boy talk or whatever. And so my friend at work was like, so she's for Trump like that or whatever. And I was like, yeah, that's her husband. And she was like, oh, my fucking. She's like, you're not going to fucking believe this. She was like, I'm thinking. He talking about Melania Giudice. I said, why in the hell would they be interviewing Melania Giudice about Donald Trump's comments?
Oh, my God.
Oh, it was the funniest thing in the world. It was the funniest thing in the world,
oh,
right?
God.
That literally happened to me today. That was so we was laughing for hours.
Wait, but did you watch Atlanta?
Yes, with the talk show this week and the commercial.
So
listen,
good.
Do you
yes.
know how
so
many
good.
People tagged me to the part where the lady was like, me and the Ma realized I was a moon sign. I didn't have enough crystal in my tie.
Of course, and when I first seen it,
oh,
I was like,
God.
"Oh God, here we go!"
I was like, "Here go the snaps," and as predicted, y'all sent me the snaps of that scene like 3,000 times. But it was really funny. I died. The fact that they said we realized I was a moon sign, like that's a sign.
Like
today's episode of the Friend Zone is brought to you by Bevel. We told you about the dangers of multi-blade razors before. They often cause irritation and razor bumps that leave your skin in worse for wear. But the Bevel shaving system is dermatologist approved. and proven to reduce and precipitate some bumps. Discoloration and irritation. 9 out of 10 customers come back month to month, making sure that they keep getting that Bevel blessing in their hands. The good folks at Bevel want you to look good, so they're giving you the first month of your Bevel subscription for free. Just go to Bevel.com/friendzone to get that first month on them. That's GETBEVELDOTCOM/friendzone. Start shaving smarter today with Bevel.
Now, have you watched any of the SNL skits? Because randomly, some of those have been funny as fuck.
No, I haven't.
So SNL has been hitting really hard with the political skits, but they some did, of the... So,
never mind. Go ahead.
No, what skit was you about to say?
The one that where they did Sorry, the Melania Aide.
Melania Aide was killer. Like, they had Melania, and then she was taking, like, the exact words from Sorry almost, and it was...
They did a parody video of Beyonce's Sorry music video. And, well, I don't want to say Sorry music video because it sounds like I'm saying Beyonce had a bad video.
Right.
They did a parody of Beyonce's music video for her song Sorry. Mm-hmm. And they included all of the Trump accusers and Omarosa in the women that were like around Beyonce during the Sorry video, rocking back and forth and stuff. And it's so funny.
I gotta look it up.
And they also, she didn't say It Boy Talk, or she didn't say Egg On. She said, I said, what the fuck did this nigga say? She was like, I wonder if they know the camera on, the mic on, because he egg on. I said, bitch, what? Talking about Billy Bush was egging Donald Trump's ass on, and you wonder if they knew the mics were on. Is the issue
that it was on,
that they knew the mics were on or off, or is it what the fuck they were saying? And that's my problem. They make these ridiculous statements that are so insulting. These goddamn Republicans, I done got mad. The segment is done. If your cable was on, you watched all the shows we was going to talk about, I'm ready to move on to asking for a friend. I done got mad. Fucking around Melania's dumb ass. Just like Nicki Minaj said. Nicki Minaj was right. And that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, I saw that clip when she was twerking.
Not that part. But when she said what she was saying about... what she was saying about... Melania Trump being brainless. She was like, Barack had a Michelle and Bill had a Hillary. Ew. And what y'all want a bunch of brainless such and such is like Melania's? Right.
So, slide over to...
Sorry, I was having a Melania moment.
The asking for a friend for
lion,
today.
Lion face ass. Melania looked like Melania looked like Nala from The Lion King.
She was still there.
She looked like that. You know them. You ever seen The Lion King on Broadway?
No, ain't that crazy?
Damn, you got to see the lions and the animals have real chiseled cheekbones and shit. And the masks are, they sit up on top of their head, so like the animal's face will be up here, and they just look just like Melania. That's all in that interview. Oh, and it was almost like she had an earpiece on. I sound like a conspiracy theorist now.
Ain't it sad?
But it was like, I mean, she had an earpiece on, like somebody telling, because she kept saying, oh, who I felt like I, and then it would kick in. It was like she was waiting on it to kick
they
in.
They were trying to make sure she was saying what they
She still
for.
Looked a fool. And Anderson Cooper didn't do nothing but sit there and read the shit out of her for 30 minutes or however long
I
the interview
him.
Was. She
He's
said,
so
I know I'm harping on it, but fuck them. She said,
Because I thought we was
Yeah, me too.
You moved us
She's
on.
She's right.
And
I told you I done got mad. I told you I done got
and
mad.
I was back
I'm sitting here thinking like...
I done got mad because they are so insulting, man. She sat there and told
like
him...
That's like that person that texts you and goes, don't ever text me again. Right. And then you see the three dots.
And you were like, what is going on?
And it's iMessage, so it's a long ass text. Oh she, but she gonna say sometimes she mind you, she was laughing and being playful. Sometimes I feel like I have two boy, my little son and your husband, my husband. Yeah, talking about she felt like because he had boy talk. That's what her ass. That's who they want to be the first lady.
Baby, I can't even do it.
It boy talk.
I mean,
go ahead, y'all.
That's the least of our worries.
Vote for Hillary,
presidency.
Man. Please don't be dumb. Like, if you're going to vote for Hillary, because we cannot have Donald Trump and Melania Trump in there ruining the White House.
And what's the site? Is it Can I Vote? I think it's canivote.com to if you want to double check if you're registered or not. And then if you're not registered, it has rules on how to be registered.
I hope you
so
are.
Definitely check that out.
I hope y'all are registered by now because I think a lot of the deadlines did hit. But absolutely look and check.
Each and every day it's a new state that's reaching the deadline to be able to be registered to vote. So
definitely go look and check if you haven't already if you're
it's
not sure.
Actually, it's canivote.org. So please check that out, and it lets you know if you're registered to vote and how to register if you're not.
Had to plug that in there. For sure.
Kern.org, like organ, like church organ, which would play right now before we go into asking for a friend.
I was about to do the Family Matters.
What's happening?
So what's the question?
So as per usual, don't forget to email us at thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com. That's all I'm giving you this week. You have to go and do it or you're not.
Damn.
He's not somebody's grandpa.
Okay. And this one's titled Wedding Mama Drama. Speaking of mama drama, before we get into this, we ain't even talk about Love and Hip Hop Hollywood.
Oh, my God. Them baggy face old ladies fighting about a race trainer.
Oh, my God.
Wait,
did you see that?
The Love and Hip Hop Hollywood. Lyrica Anderson mama and her husband's mama.
Wait, Lyrica Anderson, the artist?
You don't know that Lyrica Anderson? Girl, baby, yes.
She's on Love and Hip Hop Hollywood.
Lyrica.
No, not Lyrica.
Lyrica Anderson.
She's talented.
Showed up on there, and now she is Lyrica Anderson Garrett.
Let me not reality shame.
Baby, I'm telling you, when I seen her, I said no.
I thought her last name was One. She married A1, right? I thought her name was Lyrica Anderson and the number One. Hyphenated Anderson One.
Anyway, we're not jumping back. I changed my mind. I'm not going to do the Dustin.
I don't feel like waiting. I love that song she got with Cash Doll called Panties. That is the jam.
Yes. Okay, I'm just going to get to the email. It's titled Wedding Mama Drama. Hi, Dustin, Fran, and Asante. So I'm just going to jump right into my problem. I got engaged a few months ago. I've been with my fiancé for 5 years, and we are so excited for this new journey. We talked about what we wanted for our wedding, and we both decided to have a small courthouse wedding. However, my mother wants and has already started planning and inviting people to a wedding that neither myself or my fiancé really want. She's heavily involved in the church and has already told church members what they will be doing at my wedding. The reason why we wanted to have a small wedding is because the money we would spend on a big ceremony, we are spending on extra plane tickets for both me and my fiance's parents to join us on our honeymoon to Jamaica.
Smart,
but that's gonna
not if she's going to be doing know. Shit we like booking a church and getting on your nerves behind your back. You want to bring that to bring sand to the beach?
Well, after she breaks it to her mom, those tickets might help.
Right. And she tell her, you make one more plan and I'm canceling the ticket.
Well, no, her mama don't care. Sorry. Both of our parents had courthouse weddings and no honeymoon, so we wanted to make the courthouse wedding a tradition and give them both something they never got to do.
Courthouse or shotgun?
Courthouse.
Oh.
Because they want to have them at the wedding and stuff, but they want to bring them.
They might have been at the first wedding. If it was a shotgun.
We were going to surprise both of our parents the day of our wedding. My mom, on the other hand, wants a big ceremony since she never got to have one of her own. She's going crazy buying invitations and picking out colors. My question is, should I tell my mom our secret or forget the whole idea and let my mom have her day? I don't want to hurt her feelings, but I also want her to realize that it's not her wedding. Please help. Thanks. P.S. I love the show.
Who's paying?
I was just about to say, let me go back and see if she said that.
If you're paying for your mom's dreams, I don't know how that's working.
I think they're paying because she says the reason why we wanted to have a small wedding is because the money we would spend on a big ceremony, we're spending on extra plane tickets for both their parents.
I say, if this is coming out of your budget when you and your husband were planning on having a dope-ass honeymoon or maybe even putting that towards your house, you know, wedded bliss, the money that can be used for so many things, talk to her. Tell her the truth. And the thing is, she's going to find out anyways because moms find out everything. So it's better you tell her now than for her to find out outside of you and be pissed at you. So tell her, talk to her, tell her the truth. And tell her, listen, we're going to Jamaica, so calm down.
You think she should tell her the secret?
Yeah.
And when you tell her, make sure you tell your husband, well, your fiance, to tell his mama. Tell him, E2 mama Tambien, nigga. You tell your mama, too. That's what you do. Because both of us, you know, it needs to be accountability. Y'all need to be evenly yoked. Ain't that what married people are supposed to be?
Right.
Okay? So both of us need to address our mamas. Because, you know, mamas will run rampant and wild.
Yeah.
You
don't clearly, stop them. If she's delegating church people for their positions on it, and you guys haven't even talked. Like, your mom is all over this.
Mess around and she playing your wedding, and you get one of them country ass cakes with the stairs going from cake to cake and the little black people on top of it. Nah, dog.
See,
you better speak
the
up.
Little black people on top of it.
Your mother needs to know that the answer is no, and you need to give her the tools to deal with no. Because she thinks that your answer is no, and she's giving you the tools to deal with no by having this wedding that you don't want anyway. So you need to flip the script. You don't have to tell her the secret, unless you want to. But you need to go ahead and be like, Mom, and you can sit down with your lover, your significant other, too, and be like, you're not doing this. You need to go ahead and tell the church people that their services are not going to be needed for this. I appreciate you. I love you. We're still doing the courthouse. We love each other. It's our budget. It's our wedding. This is what we are doing. And you're either going to accept that or not. And if she decides to comply, then you give her a real good sweet when y'all get to Jamaica so she ain't got to know about that.
Nice.
But, you know, because, you know, it's really, because for you, it is really more about the control for the wedding than it is about the trip, unless it's about the money, which would be for me. You know, it's my wedding. I'm trying to make Jamaica look popping for y'all when we get there so we can do the dolphin swimming and stuff. And you want to have extra catering truck at the wedding. Them people ain't even going to eat all their food because they're trying to be cute with their outfits and stuff. So just things to think about. Just things to think about. So just sit your mama down, give her the tools that she needs to know that the answer is no, so she knows that the answer is no, and get married, okay? And enjoy yourself in Jamaica.
Right. And that's that.
On a petty note, ask her who she marrying.
Ooh.
Be like, well, you doing all this? Well, who getting married in the church? Because I swear I just told you we was going downtown.
And you know what? For your mama's birthday one year, for one of their anniversaries, you could help her plan a wedding or something, or plan it for her behind her back or something. Keep that in the pocket for something else. Okay?
And on a petty note, put her birthday on the front.
How much is all this costing you, Mom?
Okay.
Curious.
I see that you asked the choir to sing. How much were you paying them? What did you tell them you were gonna give them?
That you got loud.
You know, you gotta make sure you're being heard.
For real.
You gotta make sure you're being heard.
What about the black business of the week, Asante?
Black business of the week.
That felt so Apollo. Like Kiki Shepherd's going.
Black business of the week. Ooh, you know what? Before we get started, I have to make sure that I shout out my high school, Pebblebrook High School, is not the Black Business of the Week, but I want to highlight my homegirl.
If your high school was the Black Business of the Week.
No. That'd have been real fucking funny. No, but I have to shout out my high school really, really fast because it was our homecoming. And for Pebblebrook, it was our 10 years this year, 10-year anniversary. So we decided to do scholarships. And we gave out two scholarships in honor of a couple of people that are no longer with us, a couple of our classmates. So I just want to give a quick shout out and RIP to LaShawn Douglas and Willie Wiley and their families, and just say thank you for everybody that decided to donate for the scholarships. Pebblebrook High School, you know, y'all made me who I am today. So a lot of y'all are out there fleeking, a couple people on some reality shows, a couple people on Broadway, a couple people on network TV, a couple people in music. So I think that's really, really dope. I just want to go ahead and shout that out. And while I'm shouting out things that are really, really cool and people that are really cool, for the Black Business of the Week, I decided to give it to a young lady that was sent into us via email. It is Cora Natural, and it's coranatural.com. And basically, she makes handmade soaps. And it's a Black woman. It's a Black woman whose mom was undergoing radiation fighting breast cancer, and her skin was getting really dry. So she took the time out to meet with, like, dermatologists and figure out the benefits of using this natural soap, and she decided to just go ahead and make a business out of it. It was helping her mom out, and it was really good. So she's got this really popping website. It's coranatural.com. That's C-O-R-A, natural, N-A-T-U-R-A-L.com. And she was sent in to us via email. The stuff looks really, really cool. There's some lavender scent, some lemongrass scented stuff, even unscented if you just want to be moisturized, but you don't want to smell like nothing special.
I love a lemongrass anything.
Me too. That's my favorite scent for the home.
I don't like lemon things, like lemon cookies, lemon cake, lemon. It's just not my thing. But lemongrass, lemon scented products.
You gave me a spray once with some lemongrass in it.
For the hair, right? That's Allocane Naturals. That leave-in is... Anytime I wear it, I walk past. You know how you know something smells good? When you sit down on the train next to someone and you kind of sense them sniff up and then they look over at you like,
Well, so if you need something lemongrass scented, you can go on ahead and log on to CoreNatural.com and get you a piece. Also, you know, just pushing the envelope for the black business. If you have a business or a store of some sort, on Cora's website, she has email about buying soap wholesale. You want to carry some in your business.
That's
so,
dope.
You know, if you...
Support each other.
Yeah, support each other. Think of creative ways of supporting each other. I try to give out, like, little retail things and things that people buy and use on a regular basis. You know, like, sometimes we're looking for T-shirts. Sometimes we're looking for soap. Sometimes we're looking for shower curtains. You know, just, like, little things around the house. But if you have a business and you're trying to figure out ways of helping other businesses... Yeah, send that in too. I think that's dope, and that's another way of giving back. So be black and be great in your business.
Right? So that's it for this week's show. Do you guys have any church announcements before we get out of here? Dustin?
Nope.
Asante?
Yeah, I just want to go ahead and give a shout out to my cousin Nunu out there, you know, help represent Ben Hill Squad, you know, killing out that Grand Brown Mall with a boy shop talk, you feel me, cuz, you know what I'm saying?
You feel me, cuz.
And that's pretty much it, you know what I'm saying? I'm finna go out and get me some, you feel me? If you listen to the end of this episode, make sure you type Shine Again just to make sure you wouldn't listen to the old episode. So type Shine Again if you made it to the end of this episode.
Right, Shine Again, Morda Faka.
Morda.
So that would have been problematic today.
Shout out to Michael Blackson.
That would have been problematic today.
Shout out to Michael Blackson.
I can't do
this.
This
the We Going to Hell episode.
We Going to Hell. That's what this is. I only have two quick announcements. The number one,
what you cooking in the pot,
being
man?
Obviously, check out Crystal and I on Insecurity, I-N-S-E-C-U-R-I-T-E-A. I think
yeah.
I
Come
it
on,
right.
Akilah.
Yeah, come on, Akilah.
You saw me close my eyes. I had to see the word in my brain. So
why you couldn't do it like Boosie? I-N-D-E.
I-N-S-E-C-U-R-I. I hate y'all. So definitely check us out. Like I said, we are...
Do you know what they say?
She got a podcast. She got her own show.
Two shows. What?
Hi. I-N-T-E. Go ahead.
And if you ain't heard, sit down. If you ain't heard, sit down. We could remix that. We doing that for
y'all
the next promo.
Broke, sit down.
We got to do the...
At security.
Oh, my God. Broke, sit down. Yo, you know what? But that would actually fit because you know how Issa be rapping on the show?
Exactly. I'm
going
to freestyle battle her on site when
totally
I see her. I'm dropping
that.
The bag and I'm going to be like, what's up?
Yo, I'm totally going to ask about that. Y'all should do the theme song.
Yep.
So for those of
I-N-S-E-C-U-R-I-T-E-A.
Do you know what that say? Hey. See, I'm already. Come on now, we do this.
But like I said, check us out. We are everywhere that you can listen to podcasts. It's really fun. It's been such a joy working with Crystals because we are just a mess. It's been
awesome.
Come on,
Black Girl Magic.
Right? So check us out. And then my second announcement is that my Supernatural Wellness pop-up tour is officially underway. We had the one in Dominican Republic in August. We had the one in Brooklyn in September. And we will have LA in November on the 19th and the 20th. We've already sold out half of it, which is great. We doing 2 days because we wanted to extend the amount of slots because the last one sold out so fast and you guys were sending me lots of angry emails. So I wanted to make sure that there was enough room for you to participate if you wanted to do so. So check that out. I have the tweet pinned to my Twitter. That's twitter.com/heyfriendhey.
That's right. That's right.
The link will send you straight to the Eventbrite site.
Straight over there.
Right? And
straight over
there. So if you're in the LA area or if you're going to be in the LA area, I would love to spend some time with you. The theme of this retreat is going to be relationships, not just romantic, but all of them. Friends, business, love, all of it. All the relationships possible. Family. And we're going to talk about how to cut the cords of toxic ones and how to put yourself in alignment with yourself so that you can bring in healthier relationships that will help your life feel good.
Mm. That's right. That's right.
Mm. Right? Mm. Since we're all living proof, even this show is living proof of the power of aligning yourself with good people.
See, it ain't even Sunday,
thriving.
Friend. It ain't even Sunday, friend.
So I definitely would love for you guys to check that out. Like I said, the tweet is pinned to my Twitter, so please join us. And that's it for my two announcements, and that's it for this week's show. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we will see you guys next week.
Stay black and
protect
your magic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
've you ever wondered what the stars have to say about your favorite artists and writers? Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa, where I, your host and astrologer, Issa Nakazawa, read and interpret astrological birth charts of luminaries like W. Kamau Bell, Gia Tolentino, and so many more. You'll discover how astrology can unlock fascinating insights about these stars, and who knows, maybe you'll learn a little bit more about yourself. Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa wherever you get your podcasts.